Brought to you by Burr Foreman and broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Results Matter Radio, where we bring you pertinent business information and offer real-life solutions to help drive desired results for you, whatever your business may be.
Lee Cantor here with Stone Payton, another episode of Results Matter Radio, and we thank our sponsor, Burr Foreman, for making this happen every week. Stone, quite a show we have here today.
We do have a fantastic show, and it just feels like a particularly special day for some reason. Why do you think that is?
I think it's the anniversary of your birth.
It is. It's the 50th anniversary of my birth, and so I'm delighted to say it's my birthday, and I had the best present ever at yesterday's staff meeting. The staff gave me 2 ham hocks from honey-baked ham.
That's nothing says I love you like a ham hock.
Like ham hocks, right. And I even tweeted about it this morning. You can take the boy out of the country, but you can't take the country out of the boy. So we do have a studio full, and we're going to get right at it. First up, we have from Greenberg Faro, Rodney Abney, and Renee Farendale. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Well, we are delighted to have you.
So now, Greenberg Faro, what are you guys doing for folks out there in the marketplace?
Greenberg Faro is an architecture, engineering, development services consulting firm headquartered here in Atlanta with offices throughout the U.S. as well as internationally now in China and Mexico City.
So that's the big news, right? Opening an office in China?
Yes, in Mexico City.
And Mexico City.
Our international expansion occurred this year. That's, I believe, why we're here to talk about that.
You want to? How'd you choose those two countries?
With China, we looked at, obviously, for its emerging market presence, its rapid growth. It's obviously no secret. It's been a growing economy, one of the largest, second largest economy in the world now, I believe, continues to grow. So that was obviously an easy choice for us there.
Yeah, in the case of Mexico, really following our clients, we're very fortunate to have some of the best groups to work for. We're for Home Depot, IKEA, Walmart, all the big brands in the U.S., we're helping them, supporting them throughout their expansions, not just Mexico, China, United Kingdom, other places.
So you started, the firm started here in Atlanta, is that right?
That's correct. Started here in Atlanta in 1974.
So you've been around for quite some time, and then your clients, you put together an impressive roster of clients here in the United States. And you were saying that some of the clients had needs overseas, and then you were able to work with them overseas, and then that's what spurred this the growth into actually opening offices?
Correct. As you know, really, we're living in a global economy these days. You know, it's not just about the U.S. The U.S. is a very mature market. So all the great companies in the market are expanding to China, Asia, Latin America.
Now, when you're deciding to expand, there's one thing of doing work there, but then another thing is actually opening an office there. When you open an office in another country, what are some of the challenges of staughing it and you know, kind of
laughs pretty quick on that question.
Trying to you know have the culture of the firm actually kind of work in a whole different part of the world.
Sure, it's been a year long, maybe a little bit longer than a year long effort to get the office open in China, to get it staffed, to be legal, to be able to have an entity there. We've got that completed. We have staff there now in Shanghai. It's definitely a challenge to bring the culture, the good parts of Greenberg Faro to that office.
Right.
We'll do that by traveling there quite a bit. I've been there several times. We'll ultimately, if things go well, I'll relocate over there.
Oh, really? So that's on the plan?
Yes.
So you're having to live there?
Yes.
For a period of time.
And your language skills? How are you? Got some Mandarin in your back pocket there?
No.
Yeah. So do you guys have a specialty, something that's really in your wheelhouse that's different from other firms that you focus on?
The company grew up supporting Home Depot. So we supported that firm for about 15 years. At some point, I think we helped with 2,000 of their stores here in the U.S.
Wow.
That really created the basis for us to have the infrastructure that we have today. We grew to be a national firm. We grew to have skill sets that really are pretty unique to the retail market. And that's really what has taken us to Latin America, supporting those people. And going back to your question of what is it like to open an office, I think most people just think that, you know, you're going to go there, you get out of the
rent
plane.
Rent some space? How hard
sure,
could it be, right?
It's that simple. You just bring a wallet.
Run an ad in Craigslist there in Mexico City, and off you go, right?
Well, you know, if you're creative, you may be able to happen, you know.
So there's some challenges, right?
Absolutely.
Now, you had some help from the Atlanta Chamber of Commerce. You were part of a trade mission?
We did. We went on a trade mission with the Metro Atlanta Chamber with the mayor back in March of 2012.
Mm-hmm.
And that really gave us made some contacts that way, gave us some confidence. Actually got our first project through that trip, and that got us going.
Now, can you talk about that decision to get involved with the trade mission? Because that's a big commitment of resources, people, and time.
Sure. We got a nice call from Kevin Johnson over at Invest Atlanta, and Kevin came by and made a spiel. And Kevin,
he was persuasive.
Kevin's a good salesman.
Was this a no-brainer for your firm? Were you like, when they made this offer to come with them, were you like, yeah, of course we're going to do that? Or was this something that you guys debated internally?
It was a good discussion internally. We had been looking at the China market since early 2010, late 2009. We had been back and forth trying to figure out the best way to penetrate, best way to get in, best way to get there. This was another avenue, and it proved to be a good avenue that gave us the lead that got us really...
So you had never done work there before. You were just discussing the possibility.
Correct.
And so this kind of got your feet wet a little bit.
It got our feet wet. It got us into several cities around the country. The chamber did a nice job on arranging B2B meetings that we were able to make contacts, meet developers, kind of get, meet some folks. And that led to cultivating those relationships, which ultimately led to some work and more work and the office.
I think what was interesting, it was for us just not an opportunity to go to China, but also to kind of get introduced to the people here in town, to connect back to the community.
Yeah. Right.
A lot of our clients are national, so we don't really have that connection. So it really gave us a chance to, we met one of your guests here during the trip. So,
small world, right?
It is.
So is there an application process or some sort of training process? Walk us through the process of going on a trade mission that an organization like the Metro Chamber helps organize.
As far as the process that we went through, we obviously met with Kevin at Invest Atlanta, and then filled out some paperwork and got talked with Rick Hubler and Katie Klein over at the Metro Chamber, and went through the orientation, and they put the agenda together, and off we went.
Silly, no credit check. I think we should go for it.
So you were just kind of along for the ride. Were you able to say, look, we're looking at this area, this is the way we want to, maybe we're thinking about penetrating it, and you were kind of working collaboratively with them, or were they saying that this is happening, and if you want to join us, then here's how you join us?
When Mayor Reed called me and asked me what I thought, we were absolutely along for the ride.
So when the chamber is doing one of these initiatives, their objective is to introduce the people in China with some Atlanta firms.
Sure.
So then they're handpicking a handful of firms to go, right?
Correct.
And so in order for you to get the most out of it, they introduced you to certain people, but didn't you have to do some work on your own to kind of expand that and to further the conversation?
Sure. We provided a firm profile, markets we were interested in, services we'd like to provide, things we'd like to do.
Mm-hmm.
They paired that up with firms or businesses in China.
So you gave them a profile and they kind of were the matchmaker?
Correct.
Have you done that in Mexico as well, or was it only China?
Only China. And Mexico, as I said, is just a different case. We're following one of our clients. I happen to be from Mexico.
Uh-huh.
So, it's like they just point the finger and saying, you're it. was that simple, made it happen in a day.
And then are you working with the Chamber of Commerce? Do they have a Chamber of Commerce that helps businesses meet other Mexican businesses? Or you're just working through that initial client you have?
To be honest with you, we have not done that. I had previously participated on a trade mission with the governor a few years back.
Mm-hmm.
And I think those missions are a fantastic opportunity to network, because it really do connect the community here with local business people. And
They're
very, very successful in doing that.
So is it a best practice when you find yourself in a new marketplace like this, in a new culture, to hire some people from that community? And is that part of your strategy?
The biggest thing is we think of language as the biggest hurdle in this process, but it's really the way people do things is very different. Just everything from doing business practices to the legal environment to just opening a checking account.
So, can you share some of those challenges? Take the checking account. What is the, why is that a challenge? You don't just go to the bank and say we're a firm in the United States?
I'll give you the case of Mexico, which I think is an interesting case. In China... you know, I'm sure Rod can tell me stories, but in Mexico, it took 2 months to open a checking account.
2 months?
Yes. So you have to go through a registration process, which takes a while. Once you get approved by the government, you have to show up to the bank, and you have to have a lot of paperwork. You show up, they check you out, make sure you're not coming from Colombia or any other place like that.
Right.
And they go check your address, they check your background, and 2 months later, if you're lucky, you get a checking account.
And is it the same with, like, getting office space and hiring? Do you have to go through a certain kind of bureaucracy to do those kind of things as well? Or once you're in there, at some point, once you're in there, aren't you in there? Or right. It's still a challenge at every turn?
I think the beginning is really the most difficult part. There are a lot of paperwork associated with it. So certainly there has to be a commitment on the organization that this is not going to be a six-month operation, that right. there's going to be an investment to participate and collaborate in these countries.
Right.
Sure. It was about a 5 month process to essentially incorporate Indentity in China in the PRC, a wholly foreign owned enterprise, which is what we chose to do. It was very similar to establishing a corporation here in the U.S. It just takes a little bit longer, a lot more paperwork to go through.
Now, do you have offices in other states here in the United States?
We do. We're located in eight locations around the U.S.
So you've already expanded outside of the metro area. So you've already had that experience, and then. The difference is this kind of bureaucratic element where it takes longer. Like if you're going to open it up in New York, it's not going to take as long as it is in Mexico City?
Yeah, certainly that there is a complexity associated with that. I'm not sure that we'd call it bureaucracy as much as I would call it that they have just different processes.
Yeah.
So you that's the challenge for anyone going overseas, for some of our clients going there, that you know they have to learn what their practices are, how long things take, how right. things get implemented. You know, just because we do it here in a certain way, you can't assume that's how it's going to
sure.
get done everywhere else.
Now, you saw this opportunity in Mexico. You had an existing client. So how do you attack the marketplace to expand the business there?
You know, we are just a very fortunate organization. A lot of our clients have gone international. So for us, the easiest and most practical way to expand into Mexico is to go visit with all of them. You know,
with your existing clientele and say, hey, we got an office
here
now.
We're established here. We can right. serve you. We can support you and so on and so forth.
So what do you guys see as the long-term impact? Presumably, you wouldn't make this investment unless you felt like there was going to be a real return some years down the road. I mean, how substantial do you view this impact on your organization?
I think it's part of our long-term plan. Greenberg Faro underwent a strategic planning process in January of 2012, so 18 months or so ago. Part of that was growth and diversification. We identified that as growth in revenue, growth in profit, growth in size, and then diversification not only in marketplace, market sector, but also geographically. The international angle seemed to provide some good options, some opportunity. As Renee said, the U.S. market's pretty mature. We didn't look around and see that we could grow maybe, you know, 20% here, but we could certainly do that in other emerging markets such as China and Mexico.
Now, are there certain segments that you're kind of going after in China?
Sure, absolutely. We'll target five main segments, market segments, mostly in second and third tier cities, even fourth tier cities, emerging markets. You know, those market sectors would be where we have a strong portfolio, where we can sell. Most projects in China have some type of mixed-use component, which we have a nice portfolio on. We'll also do some retail work, pursue retail, we'll pursue hospitality, pursue residential, and then ultimately master planning as well.
Now, culturally, is there a difference in the way that this is going to be sold in? Like, are you, I know you lean a lot on existing clients, but at some point you're going to have to meet with strangers, right?
Sure, sure. We haven't, we visited it, as Renee did, when we went to Latin America. We visited with some of our clients here. They all said, yeah, sure, we'll talk to you once you get your office open and you're staffed. But we're not going to give you work in Shanghai out of Atlanta, which I understand. So we've had to go completely in new. The clients that we've gotten just through marketing, through building relationships, through word of mouth, just taking our show on the road, if you will, going out and meeting people. And
now, are the people in China, the business people there, when they see the portfolio and all the work you've done here in the United States, is that something that makes this an easier decision for them?
It does. I think there's
they have the confidence that you can execute.
They do. The savvy developers there, certainly that market's matured. That market's been open for maybe 20 years to Western firms. So we're a little bit late, but I don't think that's a bad thing for us given our size. The Western firms have a certain amount of credibility just by being there. And then Greenberg Faro has a fantastic portfolio. We're fortunate that we're able to show a wide range, wide spectrum of work from conceptual design through completed projects that really resonates in the marketplace.
So before we wrap, I want to get some just overarching counsel to organizations that are out there listening who are both considering going to global markets and entertaining this idea of collaborating with an organization like the Metro Chamber to go on a trade mission, just maybe a couple of best practices, lessons learned, or boy, whatever you do, don't do this. Or let's give them some real tactical counsel.
I would say the most important thing is to go with someone that's been in that market before. The Chamber of Commerce is a fantastic avenue to do that. Meet people, not just one, meet several people. And once you made a commitment, stay there. You know, it's so easy to just go there and 3 months later try to pull the plug because you're not getting work. So just make a commitment. This market do bring an opportunity to us. And I just think it's a matter of vision and perseverance.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Flexibility would be key. I would say it'd be another key component. It's going to take a little bit longer than you think, no matter what it is. So you need to be flexible and have that perseverance to see it through.
Now, are you looking to kind of solidify your base in these two markets and then go to other markets, or are you looking at other markets around the world to move into?
I think in the case of Mexico, it's really the vision is to expand throughout Latin America. Mm-hmm. So we're considering opening an office in Miami to serve the Latin American market. We have good relationships in Panama, Colombia, and some other places.
Right, and use that American hub as a jumping-off point.
Absolutely.
We would pursue a similar strategy in China. Obviously, China is a very big market.
Yeah.
We could spend an entire career there. There's plenty of emerging markets within China that we can focus on. But we would certainly not rule out looking into Southeast Asia to some more emerging markets or newer economies that continue to grow.
Right, but you're getting your sea legs there.
We're going to get our sea legs in China, that's for sure.
Where can our listeners go to learn more about Greenberg Faro and some of these things?
Our website's a great place to start. It's www.greenbergfaro.com. It's got all our information there. You can link to all our offices as contact email, phone numbers, and whatnot. Be a great place. You can also find us on LinkedIn and Twitter as well.
And what's the sweet spot for you guys? The point of entry for a typical person that like what are their needs that they would want to call you right away? If they're looking to expand,
sure.
If anyone that really needs sets in the retail business in the residential market in the U.S.,
right.
We're certainly prepared to do that. Not just here, locally in the Southeast, but throughout
anywhere
the country.
Now in the world.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
All right. Good stuff.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun having you guys in the studio. We got to have you back maybe in some months and give us kind of a halftime report, right? Let us know how it's going and lessons learned.
That would be fun. We'll take you to Mexico. We can open a radio show with you.
I like it.
That's it. We'll have our own trade mission, right?
Fantastic. Anytime.
Hey, how about hanging out with us while we visit with our next guest?
Sure, absolutely.
Fantastic.